Blog Talk Radio.
I came up out the darkness, searching for light. I know home is where my heart is, but now nothing seems right. I try to make peace and cut my losses and carry on somehow, but I've come much too far and it's too late to turn back now. Here I go again.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Queen Vi's Reality Talk. I'm your host, Queen Vi, alongside my co-host, Mr. Hakim Nuba.
Hey, 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 Peace Queen. How are you doing?
Maintaining. How are you doing?
I'm trying to maintain, too. These allergies are coming at me hard. Damn. Coming at me like I got warrants and shit. Damn.
We both gonna push through, you know. A lot of people look forward to us doing this show as we look forward to doing the show. And I think we're talking about a very important topic here today, as we do also very well. And on Therapy Thursday today, we're gonna be talking about we're going to discuss some recent news stories that affect the Black community, what we should be focusing on, and what are distractions. And we titled it, Stay Aware, Black People. Because, you know, it's not about being woke. It's about being aware of what's going on and the things that affect you and your community and your people, for the most part. So, you know. We're going to tackle this today with everything that's going on, that has been going on, and that is going to affect how things are in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Remember, you can always call in 929-477-1436. Don't forget to press 1 on your telephone keypad to go live with us.
I figure it's an important conversation to have, especially with all that's going on and all that has transpired over the last last 4 or 5 months. The Black community has just been through a lot. We've had to deal with COVID. We had to deal with the loss of work, the loss of jobs, the loss of income, the loss of daycare, things. So even if your job laid you off and you needed to look for other work, other places, you couldn't partake in it because your kids are out of school, so you're dealing with that, and your kids, your daycare is closed, so you're dealing with that, so you were forced to stay home. And let's be honest, some of us who had to before school ended, some of us who had to help our kids with homeschooling, we weren't equipped. So that affected us. And then we had the protests, which were very important. But the looting transpired, and that affected us too. There are still people who are struggling to get medicines and get to certain local establishments that they were accustomed to using because they're boarded up and leveled, and probably won't be open to back up in some cases. So, I mean, there's been so many things. Those are the things that affected our life in so many ways. and I'm sure there's more. Those just were the ones that stood out the most to me, because I guess, you know, they affected me and the people I communicate with the most. But I thought that we need to cover some ground, because there's some things that are slipping in between the cracks. I think we took our foot off the gas pedal and some of the other things. And then there's things that are coming up that we're not giving enough attention to. I mean, out of everything that has been going on in the last 4 or 5 months, Queen, what, from your perspective, what do you think has affected you and your family?
Well, definitely the homeschooling for one. And also the income, because I had my business and my job affected. My business, first of all, people have to have money to purchase things, and with loss of income for them, you know, they're not worrying about, you know, buying no toy, no piece of jewelry when they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay their rent. Also, a great deal to my business is based on throwing parties, which is crowds, which is not safe to do. And as far as work wise, we were out of work for 6 weeks. Luckily, I was one of the ones that was able to come back. But our hours are still cut because they still are making sure we practice social distancing for the size of the office. So for office staff that used to be anywhere between 35 and 40, can't happen. So for everyone to be able to get their hours in, you know, we have to have smaller shifts. what else? And me being, when the kids first was out of school, probably about a week and a half later, that's when I was out of work. And then when I went back, I still had to play both roles. I still had to be a teacher to my children. A good thing, I've always been hands-on, but it still worked. So I have to go to work, then I have to come home and make sure they got a full day's of work in, you know, and check everything and make sure everything is submitted correctly before I could even do my regular mommy duties, you know, and cook and clean and spend time and things of that nature. So those are the two things that affected me the most, because, you know, instead of me having to have this list of things I have to do, I had more things added on. Because it don't stop. Your kids, you know, still have to get their education, whether in school or at home. I mean, instead of checking a couple of things at homework for certain subjects, I had to check a full day of homework. So those are things that kind of affected me. It was like a time management thing, as if I already don't have enough hours in a day. I had to add that on to it. And people couldn't understand. I mean, unless you're not a hands-on mom or, you know, can't teach your kids what they need to teach them, what you need to teach them, or what they needed to be taught that a teacher is supposed to teach them, then, I mean, you'll have, it won't affect you any. Just imagine when you're walking in that door and you beat from work, my kids be standing there with their laptops. And it became a bit of a routine. So they stand with their laptop because they know they have to get their work checked and everything has to be submitted and done before that game, that computer, that TikTok, or anything else come on. Mommy has to check everything to make sure it's done. So I still try to implicate some of the rules and stuff that we already had on a day-to-day basis. Now, not being able to go anywhere didn't bother me. Didn't bother me that much. I enjoyed my time at home and with my children, you know. But so those are the things that really affecting me, and that's besides the, you know, the adjusting with the world, you know, having to wear face masks, having to, you know, not being able to see your, for those who follow the rules, not being able to see, you know, your family or your kids, not being able to be kids and be sociable. Because I'm a firm believer that school plays a big part in your children's social life. It teaches them how to interact with other children. It teaches them how to be able to deal with certain things when they're not home, you know, and to be able to not be so attached where they can't function if you're not there. So I think school plays a big part in that, you know. So, what about you?
I mean, it's all of that. It's all of that. It's the always think of the kids first. I got two more school age kids left, and I'm worried about this fall. I'm worried about next month because a lot of states are opening back up. It's a scary time to not be aware, to not know what's going on, to not see what these people are up to. Because we got to understand, you know, this pandemic situation, they aren't prepared. Nobody is prepared. There is nowhere in the public sector that trains you, unless you're in, you know, the health industry, you know, the Board of Health and doctors and stuff like that. But teachers, cops, firemen, you know, and the places and the people that you deal with on a regular basis that you tend to not think about too much. You know what I mean? Your library, your school, your college. You know, the first question I got today was about, what should we be doing with our kids who are about to head off to go back to college? Because a lot of them were sent home early, and a lot of them are going back. What should they do? Is it safe? What is the word out there from our politicians and stuff like that in regards to a kid? Parents putting them on a plane or on a train and sending them back out of state to go to college. You know, are they going to go there just to have to turn around and come back?
Right.
So, and there's the other side of that. You know, it's a concern I may have is if your kid is from Jersey, Philly, New York, or whatever, and they're going to college in Florida, which is now the new New York. It's the epicenter now. What do you do?
That's a tough choice that people are going to have to make because, you know, you have to have that balance where you're aware of what's going on and you're not necessarily living in fear, but you're taking the necessary precautions. But then when you are going to a place where people from all over are going to, you don't know what precautions they took.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is that going to work in a classroom setting? Like, I can see how it changes in, you know, in the office where I am. They're not playing. Local. You know, areas you have to have your face mask. They got the hand sanitizers stations everywhere. When we first come in, you know, we got to wipe down our area, you know, and we do it before we leave. And it's only a certain amount of people in the office at one time. So no one can come to work early because you have to give us a time to get out before you come in. So I can see, but I don't see that happening in a school setting. In college, people rushing trying to get to the next class. It's an overflow of people. They have big, auditoriums where they're doing classrooms. having class at. Mm-hmm. People is traveling and visiting and having family visits, especially when you have certain cities that is a tourist city where people go, you know, just to kind of get away. Those little things, you know, people have to worry about. I have some people that I work with who, you know, kids are in college, and now they have to make the decision whether they want to go back or not, or they want to do it online. But them colleges, ever since March, when they were sending kids home, they want their full tuition, whether you send your child back or not.
Right.
They weren't giving no refunds. They wasn't giving no, you know, discounts for the times that these kids weren't there. They didn't care. And so that plays, you know, people look forward to the college experience as well. This is like something that's crazy that none of us could have even guessed that we would be going through.
Yep.
No, face masks is going to be the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about September, like for the elementary kids? You know, high school, like not, you know, non-college, non-secondary schools. I mean, post.
That's who I'm worried about the most, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't. Because they're so young, it requires so much of hands-on. They can't do a virtual. I mean, they can, but how effective will it be?
Right.
At that point, you're doing it just to say you're doing something. So the issue is, how do you settle down a 6-year-old or 7-year-old kid in the room to make them keep a mask on for 8 hours of the day and social distance and not touch each other and not dig in his ass and pluck his nose and you know, then you got to get them to the bathroom. Now, how are you going to do that? Then you got to get them to line up. How are you going to get a bunch of hyperactive kids lined up to move from one part of the facility to the next? And then it comes to the biggest thing I'm concerned about, and you know, being a former food safety person, how are you going to prepare these meals in the safest way so to avoid cross-contamination once it gets to the table? So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to think about. And we ain't got a lot of time, because August and September will be here quick as a hiccup. So we need to be engaging with our schools. You know, I talked to my youngest son's teacher a little earlier this morning. Well, his teacher from last year, sixth grade, and she directed me to. I had everything I hear me saying. I directed those same things to her, and she said, "Look, we're working on it. We want to hear from you. We want you to fill out the survey." And then she said, after the survey, there's going to be an online big chat group where you could talk to the administrators. You got, you know, so they're trying to do like town hall things virtually, and I appreciate the effort. And I'm hoping. See, I don't have a problem with a survey. I just want it to be purposeful, and I needed to be done with a reason. So if you know, my son's school has almost 5,000 kids. You know, it's about 5,000 kids in that charter district. So how are you going to contain all of that? You know, how do you do that? And are these surveys that we're going to submit to you, are you going to actually use them and take our word, our advice, our input, since our taxes are paying for this shit? So, I mean, it's a lot to it.
Right. My children's school sent out the survey as well. They sent it out maybe a couple of weeks before the end of school. To kind of see what people's concerns was, and How would they feel about their child going back to school? I'm a little hesitant. I don't know if I'll be sending my kids back to school in September. They got to, I mean, really have some great things in place. I'm more concerned about my youngest. She just turned 11. Hyper as all hell. And she's, you know, one of those friendly kids. You know, want to check and make sure everybody okay, take care of people when they're not feeling good, you know, interact and everything. And especially with both of my children having compromised health with asthma, and this is something that affects the respiratory. First of all, I can't even go 30 minutes in a store with a freaking mask on. You know, I can't even do 6-8 hours at work with a mask on. But we're expecting these young school-age kids to do that. It's not possible, you know, especially when it's hot. Walking, oh my God, I'm saying 30 minutes in the store. It's like me taking off that mask when I get in my car is how I feel when I get home and take off this goddamn bra. It's like a relief, oh my God. So I can just imagine kids are going to feel, even sometimes. And just to get out, if I ask my kids, at one point in time, my kids wasn't leaving out the house to go to the store at all. You know, this last month, they started coming me to the store, but we still keep it limited. And sometimes my kids will opt out not going because they don't want to wear the mask. You know, so could you imagine a kid trying to every chance they can get, sneak and taking the mask off because it's too hot? You know, the hand sanitizing part, I'm not concerned about because they do that a lot, but it's what other people may not do that concerns me. You can teach your kids all the proper steps. And let's be honest, as adults, sometimes we forget to do certain things. So could you imagine a child trying to remember each step, even though it's a routine? If they're rushing, forget about it. On top of that, still happens to focus and learn what's being taught, you know, especially a child with ADHD or anything like that. It's not going to be there. It's not going to happen. They share pencils. They share toys. They grab each other books. How can you tell, you know, younger kids don't do that? They're so used to doing it. So
and
I'm
that,
just
that right there, that part right there that you just said is the biggest concern that Florida had. Now, mind you, Florida's opened up way earlier than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the number one concern for that little young age kid. Because, you know, they touch things, they grab things, they throw things at each other, they share things. And it's like, how on earth do... It just makes no sense. I don't know. Well, we got another question then.
Okay.
This one is from Dave over in Southwest Philly. Shout out to Dave. He's been listening, but this is his first time submitting a question. And he says throughout his timeline on social media, he's hearing all kinds of stories of white-owned businesses mistreating blacks the minute everything opened up. And he's citing one of the cases of Supercuts over in Westboro, Massachusetts. And he said that's just one of many. Have you guys heard this story, and could you elaborate on the overall idea of white businesses mistreating black people and using COVID as an excuse?
Well, first of all, this is my thoughts before COVID, during COVID, and after, if it's ever after. People will treat us how we allow them to treat us. So if you don't get good customer service, or people are doing bad business, or, you know, whatever your issue is with that business, If you continue mm-hmm. to go and you just complain and continue to go, they're going to keep doing it. Why change it if it's not affecting them any? You know, you have to hit somewhere it hurts, you know. Don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Share your experience. Encourage your friends and your peoples and whoever else got sense not to go. We hear all the time about these businesses where a whole bunch of people have a whole thread, thousands of comments complaining about how this business is, but you're still going there every week. And you know what the part that gets me is, if you do business with a black business, the first thing they do wrong, y'all ready to put up a post and condemn them to hell, have them shut down and take away their business and licenses. But then when these big chains do it, or these white-owned stores do it, y'all complain and still keep going. It's so ass backwards, it doesn't make any sense. I seen a thread on Facebook in one of the business groups where someone was complaining about the service that they got. And the first thing somebody commented is, oh, call, get her license taken care of. Wait, hold on. First of all, how do you resolve this before you just go to the extreme? Because
right.
it's always more than one side to it. So just because you go on and say, you know, that this person didn't give you merchandise or, you know, or provide a service or whatever, can we tag that business owner? Let's get the full story of it before you condemn them to hell and shut down their whole livelihood. Because, let's be honest, it's not always the business person. Because sometimes you have customers you just cannot please. I mean, I take pride in my customer service. I take pride in making sure my customers are satisfied for two reasons. One, they come back. For two, they are satisfied, and you want them to be happy. Because when they're happy, they're going to let everybody know they're happy. But some people aren't like that. But if you complain about how disrespectful and racist and rude and mean that a company is, but you keep going to it, they have no reason to change. They have absolutely no reason to change because they're still making their money. So because they hurt your feelings, that's going to make them stop? No, you got to hurt their pockets. You got to hurt their feelings. Put them on blast. Go to the stream, the same stream you'd be trying to go with these black-owned businesses, these small businesses. Start getting these petitions together. Start getting this evidence together. Go start making them complaints.
Yep.
And if you talk to a manager and a manager don't do anything, you better call corporate. Like, make people held accountable. If they're going to keep employing these people who are not treating the consumers correctly, take it all the way to the top so it's all the way down. But you got to try first. You got to put the effort in. You got to do something about it. A post isn't always just enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, paper trail.
Well,
accountability.
Yeah, and see, that is the way to make change. Hold on 1 second. I have stupid people on bikes riding around, so it gives bad feedback. I'm sorry. Now, to your point, you have to hit them where it hurts. You got to affect the money. You go on Yelp. You go on social media. You tag your local news stations in that area. If enough noise happens, it will make the media your way, and then it will report on your story. Like, it worked. He Dave cited the story about Supercuts that happened on July 4th. A mother by the name of I'm probably gonna butcher her name, Demaline Elslager Matthews, brought her three children in, ages 2, 5, and 7, the Supercuts for a trim. According to Ms. Matthews, her family was told that they should have informed her before coming to the salon that her kids were black. They did not cut black hair, that she was told. And now, mind you, Ms. Matthews got on Facebook and Twitter, and she explains that she is white, and the father of her three children, her husband, is black. And so her kids have a certain texture which could be perceived as white. They have, you know, that texture of hair. But at any rate, the person working there refused to cut her kids' hair. And they even, there was some talk about it being, you know, you're supposed to contact us and make your appointment and do X, Y, and Z because of the COVID or whatever. So I get what Dave is saying. This is clearly a issue of racism and discrimination. And they're trying to use policy or some COVID-related policy anyway to not provide service to black people or mixed kids. So ultimately, this person was fired because this mom used her white powers. and she hooted and hollered, and she got this person fired, which is how we're supposed to do it. Why are we not doing it? We see when they do it, it works. Okay? That's the kind of stuff that we're talking about, which you should be paying attention to. Attack these people to the point where it messes up their money. You have to force them to make change. They're not going to change on their own. Pay attention to what happened last month. Pay attention to the riots. Pay attention to the looting. Pay attention to who you saw out there painting on the ground. You know who I saw today painting Black Lives Matter all the way up to Trump Tower? I ain't seen not one black person out there. Now, I'm not saying that they weren't, but I damn sure ain't see any, according to the news coverage. So, when you, like the meme says, and like the quote says, go so hard to where they can't ignore you. And that's what you got to do. And if you ain't doing it, no matter what it is you're trying to get done, you're going to still be in the same place. Because now, I don't know how long it's going to last. I'm sure it's a wave. I'm sure it's just a temporary vibe that we're seeing all these businesses on the Black Lives Matter bandwagon. Where were you, dumb fucks, a year ago? Where were you with Sandra Bland? Where were you for the other people that died? It took businesses to be destroyed. Millions of dollars in damage. It took not just black, because they're used to black people marching, but when it was black and white and Asian, when people came together for a reason, it made everybody. So, to your point, Dave, you're right. There's a serious uptick in this. We should be paying attention to it, and we should be coming together and raising hell. Fuck their money up. You want to get them to change? You hit them in the pocketbook and watch them change.
Yep. Because as we said time and time again, our dollars matter. We might not do, but money do.
You know, we got to remember, we have $1 trillion spending power all on our own. So just imagine if you took that money and directed it into places that actually cared about you and supported you and reached back and put something back into your community. So, okay, we got a question here. This is from Lady Wren. She said she's listening in. Her question is, do y'all think black businesses will suffer most after the COVID crisis is over?
Absolutely. A lot of black businesses and small businesses, they don't have, I mean, some of them just opened up. Some of them are not going to be able to survive because they have no income. They have nothing coming in. They didn't get access to some of the funding that the rich white folks did. Or they don't have the backing or haven't been in business that long. Also, not just with COVID, with the whole rioting and stuff. So when you add two tragedies on top of it, then a lot of these stores aren't coming back. They aren't opening back up. Some properties got destroyed. Some is not going to be able to afford the overhead. So they're not coming back, and it's going to be. Some people are going to have to start all over if they do come back. You know, it's a lot of time and work and energy put in to having a business, and it's a process. It's not anything overnight. So it's going to be when they get back, the ones that can open back up, it's going to be just like they just started again, especially depending on what type of service they provide. You know, because in all reality, this is not over. This is it's going to be the whole guinea pig thing where they're going to be opening stuff back up and just wait and see whether the cases spike back up. So if they have to close them back down, they're going to close them back down. So depending on what type of business you have, they may not reach that phase to even open. You know, because the economy is not opening back up because things are safe. Things are opening back up because people's pockets are being affected. You know?
Especially the white pockets. They're getting affected. You know, they don't give a shit about anybody else. Yep. Exactly right. To answer your question, a quick answer, hell yeah. We're hurting now. Some of us won't survive. Hair salons, flower shops, bakeries, people who rely on that come on in, that come on in service, that walk-in service, and they're not online-based, they're in trouble already. I talk to them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's nothing that can be done if they weren't able to get that PPP money. Kanye West got it. Him and that Yeezy shit got it. And if you knew the deal, that shit was going downhill. He was about to file for Chapter 11. He was technically broke when it came to his corporations and LLCs. Not broke personally, y'all. Kanye West ain't never going to be broke. But his businesses were failing. Who buying that ragamuffin bullshit? Him being friends with the Trump administration, being able to pick up the phone and call Steve Mnuchin on the phone and say, hey, can you go? Oh, here's the link. Just apply for it. He got it right away. You know, how did the LA Lakers get the money? How does other sports teams get the money? Football teams, basketball, baseball, fucking UFC, WWE fucking E.
Right.
I get why they got it. They actually paid. You know, they were able to keep doing live shows on because they literally donated almost $3 million to the Republican National Committee in Florida, Republican Committee in Florida. So, of course, the governor gave them the seal of approval to go, saying they are – he put them up there with doctors, nurses, and police. They're mandatory people. And guess the fuck what? They have over 20 wrestlers who are sick. Four people in the crews, the camera guy, they're all getting sick left and right for the last week and a half. Guess who won the fucking pony? The dumb people. So, white business, look at it this way. If white businesses suffered, you already know what happened with us. You already know what's going to happen to us. Because even if you're in one of these states that open up, who's coming? Who the hell coming?
Right.
People either scared or broke.
Yep. Especially if you live in one of those places where they have extremely high numbers anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, my cousin Rick just he just sent in a question, just text me, because he's listening. And he said, there's a lot of back and forth on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm guessing Instagram, about Black Lives Matter versus black-on-black crime. I personally think they're two different conversations, but for some reason, people are meshing them all together, especially the older generation. Could y'all speak on that? Thanks, Rick.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your question. It is. It's two different things, two different issues that both have to be spoke on and have to be fixed. Black Lives Matter has everything to do with, you know, the crimes against us from other people, the injustice system, police brutality, and all the other the racism and everything else that comes along with the way other people treat us and get to do to us with no consequence. And the black-on-black crime is how we treat each other, which if you live in a community where everyone is black, is going to be black-on-black crime because that is who's in their community if they're attacking people within their community. It's like if you go to a white community and someone commits a crime in that white community and they live in that white community, it's going to be white-on-white crime. But you won't hear them say white-on-white crime because when they use a black-on-black crime, it's that justification. Oh, you guys do it to each other. You know, why should your life matter when we do it if it don't matter when you guys do it? It's a justification. It's an excuse. But both have to be dealt with. Yes, we are supposed to. We do need to learn how, as a people, to treat each other better. Not committing crimes and one against each other and killing each other, but we also have to have certain advantages and certain things that other communities have that we don't have to learn certain things. We got to change the way we think. We actually have to be deprogrammed and reprogrammed. You know, because it's been going on for so long, that's what people think is your go-to. When you get mad, boom, you want to fight. You can't fight, boom, you want to kill. You know, I don't have a job, boom, I need to go rob. A lot of crimes is crimes of opportunity. Or people in desperate tight spots, and they only think is one way out. And so two different things. Both need to be addressed and dealt with accordingly, and we need a plan in place for both. And that's where the learning and the education comes in at, and the banding together and the helping one another comes in place at.
Yeah, man. That irks the hell out of me. I am not going to lie. I'm to the point where I'm tired of I'm tired of arguing with people who just don't know no damn better. And as for the rest of the people who got better things to do, but you know, who actually want to come up with some plans and resolutions, like the Queen's talking about, for you forward-thinking people who are actually interested in solutions, you don't pay this stuff no mind. You got to be able to identify an emotional outburst and an emotional response to something that is just the way it is. Because there is no such thing as black-on-black crime. That is something that was made up to justify the heavy-handedness by a criminal justice system that loved locking up what they call black criminals. It's not real, because here's some facts for you. There are more white boys slaughtering white boys than there are black boys slaughtering black boys. That's just the way it is. They're just locking more of us up for it. The truth of the matter is that every nationality or race or whatever the fuck you want to call it, who lives together are going to kill each other, rape each other, shoot each other. Yes, they go across town and get somebody else, or they'll get another race from time to time, but it is just the way it is. White people always hurt their own more than they hurt anybody else. Black people always hurt their own more than they hurt anyone else. It, the same thing for the Hispanic community. Same thing for the Asian community. That is not new. That is just the way it is. But some of you are so small-minded, short-sighted, and incapable of expanding your mind and your research capabilities to see shit that ain't in front of your face. This is what happens when you use social media as your news channel. You're going to get a bunch of backward shit. You're going to get easily influenced. And then you're using YouTube as your form of research. That's where all you so-called woke people are coming from. Y'all watched a couple YouTube videos and think you know some shit. You don't know shit. All you know is what you learned for those 5 goddamn seconds. Don't worry about being woke. Focus on being aware. Because awareness keeps you on point. Woke just means your eyes open. It means you're active. It means you're moving. You're not asleep. So-called woke people on their phone with their heads down walking in the middle of the street almost get hit by a car. You woke, but you wasn't aware. Because you was too busy arguing and texting with that dude you found fucking another chick. You ain't woke. How about being focused? How about paying attention to the things that are going on outside of your social circles? Because most of us are living in bubbles. And when we live in bubbles, we don't know what the fuck is going on outside their bubble. If you don't... remember how social media went apeshit when the National Guard came in, Queen? During the protests and the raids and the riots and shit? They lost their mind. Oh, the military's coming. Tanks is coming. You dumb fuck. They always come. It happens. That's a part of it. It's martial law. How many times you saw that? Martial law's coming. Have you seen martial law? Did Marshall get here yet with the law? I ain't seen no goddamn martial law. I see a bunch of goofy-ass people running around without masks and sitting on the goddamn social media and talking crazy. So... Yeah, we have to be able to separate ourselves from the nonsense. And this is a nonsense argument and nonsense debate. Yes, we have to do something about inner city violence. But here's some more facts for you. When you have low income, when you have limited economic opportunity, when you have limited educational prospects, when the education you got don't lead to prospects and don't lead to a good goddamn job. Remember once upon a time, a high school graduation will at least get you a job where you can bring home a little something. They don't get you shit no more but goddamn Donald. Maybe Walmart. And if you bust your ass, you work hard, you'll get in there long enough to make some money. When I'm sitting here writing recommendation letters for people with master degrees because they have to jump industries because their industry has been halted, they have to go do something absolutely different than what they went to school for, you know you're in trouble. How do you explain someone with a bachelor's degree working at goddamn Red Lobster busting tables? And you ain't thinking he ain't talking about busting no goddamn guns when his mortgage is due? And you think he ain't gonna go out there and start robbing people and shit? And everybody in the hood is piled up on top of each other, row homes and all this shit. When you can hear your next door neighbor farting from the goddamn chili beans he ate, then you know you too close up on each other. The walls are thin. It creates aggravation. And then this is the hottest summer we had yet. So yeah, people gonna be fighting. They ain't got no goddamn jobs. And the ones that ain't got jobs looking at the ones with jobs and saying, shit, I need some shit. Let me go rob some goddamn bodies. Or we had an argument. Motherfuckers ain't getting along. So, let me go shoot somebody because I can't fight. Because my daddy never taught me. So, yeah, you're going to have this kind of stuff. So my question is, how many young people have you grabbed? How many young people did you talk to? How many did you school? How many did you show a trade that they didn't know how to better their resume? Because some of y'all working in hospitals or got good jobs, and you got young people right underneath you. Not your kids, but your kids' friends that you see laying around not doing shit. Did you make a resume? You ever try asking them that? Let me help you out with that. I got 10 minutes. You see, it's easy to bitch and moan and start throwing bullshit together, but ain't nobody doing shit. I'm sorry, Queen.
No, you said.
I'm sorry. Because that it's something about, I've never been a fan of this black-on-black crime bullshit, because it was the same thing as the war on crime. It was the same thing as the war on drugs. It starts from the top with the U.S. government, the feds, come up with a concept, come up with a bunch of money, approved through Congress, and it filters down to the states that has the biggest black and Latino population. That's how the fucking cops are pulling through North Philly in goddamn armored vehicles and tanks. Who are y'all fighting? That's just a goofball. That's a goofball with a gun. And y'all showing up in full-on military weapons. Sonic boom cannons and shit like that. The stuff that they were using in Iraq for years during George Bush's administration is now being sold to places like Miami, Philadelphia. If you don't believe me, go do your research. See how they're up in Valley Forge, training four times a year. How do you sound cannons on people? They ain't out in Bucks County, Montgomery County. They're in goddamn Philadelphia County and Delaware County, where the black people are. It's the same thing over in Camden. It's the same thing over in Trenton. Same thing in Brooklyn, Baltimore. This is stuff I've been talking about for years. So stop wasting time and energy bitching and moaning and do some shit. Learn some shit. Teach some shit. All right, Queen. I apologize again. I'm fucking cutting up tonight. All right, we got about 6 minutes. So I was saving the dumb shit for the last few minutes because it's all these motherfuckers deserve. Apparently, there's a group of people that seem to think that Kanye West is a Manchurian candidate or some shit, who's secretly working with Trump to run for president so he can take the black vote. How do you feel about that, Queen?
First of all, I want to vote for Kanye West. You know what? Oh my God, just breathe for a second. I got to breathe for a second. That's why nobody's going to take us serious. No one's going to take the United States serious. Look, you going to go from Trump to Kanye? My God, nobody needs no type of experience or common sense, because we all know Kanye West is half loopy anyway. One minute he ain't never been the same since his mother died. But other than that, I mean, oh, my God. I think it's a distraction. I haven't looked much into it to see if it actually came from out of his mouth or if it's just something that's being spread around.
Oh, yeah. It's him.
Oh, it's him. Oh, mm-hmm. My God. That makes it even worse.
It's him.
I wouldn't pay Kanye West no mind, just like I wouldn't pay Trump any mind. don't even know how to answer this because, see, I didn't look into it. I thought this was just something somebody was throwing around, like them versus things.
Well,
I hope nobody do vote for that man just because he's black.
Well, you ain't got to worry about that, Queen. See, this is what happens when you don't know simple civics. Remember, these are the same dumbass people that when the election happened back in, was it April or May, remember the first thing they were talking, how Bernie Sanders still on the thing when he dropped out the race. Well, I thought that, see, y'all be got to stay woke. You stupid fucks. Kanye West, you can anybody, let me tell you something. If I want to, and if anybody will listen to me, I can go out there, put out a bunch of press releases saying I, Hakeem Born Just, is running for goddamn president. The difference is I don't have a bunch of followers and nobody gonna give a fuck. But I announced it. Kanye West announced it. I don't know if he went and filed the proper paperwork yet. I'm assuming he did, but who knows the fuck that retarded motherfucker. But here's the problem. You don't show up on no ballots if you can't get a certain percentage in the polling. So he can't take away from no black votes if he can't show up on the goddamn ballot. And in order for him to show up on a ballot, there needs to be a bunch of people to take polls and say, yeah, I want to go for Kanye. There are three other, three people who were running against Trump on the Republican Party. And guess what? You didn't know because nobody paid their asses any mind. Except people like Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews and shit like that. Trump had competition, but they were so below the radar, nobody gave a fuck. They didn't even show up on the ballots in many states. One guy sued the state of New York to get his shit on there. So guess what? Kanye can say what he wants. Stop giving these fucking entertainers so much power. Motherfucker singing rap. I don't give a fuck about nothing else. I don't give a fuck about your kids. I don't give a fuck about that white woman with the fake ass. Sing for me. That's all you do. Spin records. I don't want nothing else from you. Fuck Kanye West. Fuck 50 Cent. With the angry black women statement that y'all taking super out of context. But guess what? He's dumb enough to fucking say it knowing it's going to happen. Talking to that ugly little green fuck. Goddamn Hobgoblin. Goddamn Lil Wayne. Stop giving all these goddamn people all this energy. I'm mad that I'm giving these motherfuckers 2 minutes of my voice because y'all won't stop posting and talking about this dumb shit. Fuck them. Live your life. I'm sorry, Queen.
No.
Stupid ass motherfucker.
Yeah. What a way to end the show. We're down to about a minute.
It's called tough love.
We always had those conversations that needs to be had, not just, you know, fun all the time. Sometimes you gotta, you know, sit people down and just shake them a little bit. Just focus. Look, this is what's going on. This is what we need to do. Let's make it happen. We needed to do this show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Keep your questions coming. Continue to interact with us on our social media pages. I want to personally thank Hakeem, always bringing that energy that he brings, you know. I love it when he goes on his little rant, but that little venting session is everything. Any last words before I wrap up, Hakeem?
No, ma'am. I'm done enough cussing. Oh, yeah. Fuck Deshaun Jackson, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. That concludes our show for tonight. Until next time, good night, everybody.
Peace, y'all.